9, Luke 15. No one likes to lose anything, certainly not things that are valuable. Tonight, I had my message all typed up. I printed it, walked about 10 more steps, and I had no idea where it went. I was asking Mr. Locke, I'm like, did you see me with the paper? He's like, I don't know. And so either someone has my exact message and you're sitting there following along, which is fine, or I threw it out, or I don't know. I'll find it in 6 months. But man, it's frustrating, and it's just a piece of paper. So what'd you do? Well, I went back upstairs and reprinted. But it's a pain when you lose stuff. Luke chapter 15 and verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. When he had spent all there, arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his field to feed swine. And he would have fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. When he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will rise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thine hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, and when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and found his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, I am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to the servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put on a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. A familiar story to us. We call this the story of the prodigal son. As we look at this passage, as we examine it a little bit deeper, as we start in verse 11, we're told that there are two sons and one. Funny that two people can be raised in the same house and how one chooses one way and another chooses the other. Same upbringing. But the younger of them said to his father. So here we have the younger son. Younger son decides, I want to go see what the world has to offer. And in verse 12, it says, Father, give me the portion of the goods that fall to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And the Bible says, and there wasted his substance on riotous living. How'd that happen? How did one day he was raised in the blessing of his father's home, and then the next day he's asking for his complete inheritance, every penny, every dollar that was owed to him, and he was on his way out? Well, this wasn't a spur-of-the-moment thought. Somehow he had heard about a faraway land, and in his mind he said, that's better than what I got here. I'm going to go try it out. He thought about it. And then he left, in verse 13. And he took his journey into a far country. As I study this passage more and more, I'm surprised by a couple things. Number one, the father gives him everything that he asked for. I don't know if I would do that with my son. I don't know if he came to me and said, hey, I would like my inheritance today. I almost would say, you leave this house, you're not getting a blessing. But he gave it to him. Tells me this, be careful what you ask for, you might get it. Be careful what demands we put upon the Lord. God, give me this. That's not what's best for you, but I'll give it to you. The second thing I thought was interesting was the father. So in this passage in Luke chapter 15, there are three things that are lost. The sheep, a coin, and a son. The sheep, out of the 100 sheep, one goes wandering away, 99 are left, and one goes wandering away. And the shepherd leaves the 99 and goes to look for that one. Right? True story. Second lost thing is a coin. She loses her money, piece of silver. She turns her house upside down looking diligently. To me, sheep are expendable. Right? Sheep doesn't have a soul. Why do you raise sheep? To eat sheep. That's why you eat sheep. See, that's mean. That's what you do. I'm sorry. They can buy all you want, but lamb chops are great. Number two, the coin, expendable. You can make more money. But there's one thing that you can't make, well, that are very difficult to replace, and that's people. And the thing that he doesn't go looking for is the person. He lets them go. The father doesn't go wandering looking for the son. He waits back at home. As I studied this passage out, I was interested in those two thoughts. As this younger son got everything he asked for. And then in verse 15, he hit rock bottom. And he went and joined himself into a city, to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. So what happened? Well, there was a famine in the land. He ran out of money. He goes, he makes himself a part of that country, and they say, you got to go work. And his job is feeding pigs. Pigs are gross. And they smell, and they'll pretty much eat anything. And he was so hungry that he wished he could have eaten the food of the pigs. Do you see that the pigs are well better taken care of than the man? That the world will care more about pigs than it will you. How did the man have food to feed pigs, but he couldn't feed the man? Maybe the man's lifestyle was such that he earned money and wasted it still. Maybe he had debts where he couldn't get over it. I don't know what it is, but it just says that he wished he would have eaten, could have eaten it. And the Bible says in verse 17, and he came to himself. You know what sin does? Sin makes you crazy. It makes you mad. When he came to himself, that means he wasn't thinking right. And that's exactly what happened. It says this, how many hired servants of my father's bread, or my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. He's no longer hungry. He's starving. It's one thing that I'm always hungry. Nathan, always hungry. We could always eat, right? Brother Burkhart? I was thinking, Brother Burkhart, how many tools do you got to buy to get a snap-on sweater? Man. Anyways, okay. I'm always hungry, but I'm not starving. Say, obvious. Yes, I know. I'm doing the best I can. But here, he says, I'm going to perish of hunger. Know what's a problem? Is when we prevent people from hitting the bottom. He didn't make the decision to come home while he was feeding the pigs. He didn't make the decision to go home when he ran out of money. No, it was when he hit the very bottom. And what happens a lot of times, we'll play out the scenario here. A son of ours goes wandering out, gets himself into trouble, and comes to us and says, hey, can I borrow couple hundred hours. Hey, can I come over and do my laundry? Hey, can you help me fix my car? And we do these little goodie bags, never allowing wayward son to hit the bottom. It wasn't until he hit the bottom did he decide, I'll go home. And look at verse 18. He says this, I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him. He had a whole speech planned. Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. So he's like, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get up tomorrow, and I'm going to go back home. I'm going to apologize to my dad. I'm going to turn in my sonhood and just try and work in as a servant. He had a plan. He wasn't coming in making big demands. He was humble. But look at verse 20. And he arose and came to his father. I think it's interesting. A lot of young people say a lot of things. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do this. I'm going to get right with the Lord. I'm going to be here. I'm going to go there. I'm going to do all those things. And their words. But this young man did what many could never do. He did it. That took humility, Seth. He actually had to go back home with tail between his legs and said, yeah, I blew it. Can I just work here? And the Lord allowed, well, the Father allows him to. The Father was waiting. I love this. He got his little words already in verse 21. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. And he was about to say, make me as one of thy hired. The father cuts him off. Doesn't even let him finish. He's like, bring the robe, bring the... And he gets this big feast together. Father was quick to forgive and make it right. Why? Because when you hit rock bottom and truly repent, and that's something you can work with. They have a feast, they take the fatted calf and kill it. But that's not what our message is about tonight. If we go back to verse 11, and he said a certain man had two sons. There's a second character in our story. Sure, the one that we, if I ask you to tell me the story of the prodigal son, you'd recant something very similar to what I just said. Maybe it'd be more dynamic. Maybe you'd develop the thoughts even more, whatever. But there's a second son in the story. And the second son, look at verse 25. Now his elder son was in the field. Elder son was doing what he was supposed to be doing. He's working for dad. Now his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. Sounds like a nice time. He was alarmed by it. That wasn't typical. Didn't usually come home to that. We're going to see something in the elder son that I'm going to ask a question at the end, but I'll present it now. Who was worse off? The prodigal or the self-righteous son? Here the son never left home. He was doing what he was supposed to be doing. A lot of times we feel like, well, I'm where I'm supposed to be. Church doors are open, I'm in. I'm fulfilling my duty. I'm fulfilling my obligation. I'm serving in the Father's field. I teach Sunday school. I work the nursery. I'm on the cleaning crew. I help out shoveling. I do a series of things. I do VBS. We do this. We do that. I'm serving in the Father's field. I teach an adult Sunday school class. And that's what this elder son was doing. He was doing just like his dad had told him. He was keeping in line, never wandered, setting himself up at the end. And as he came close to the house, he hears something different. Number one, I want you to pay attention to the location. He was serving in his father's field. Point number two, look down at verse number 28. So he comes home. Is Madison here? Where's Madison? Is she in Sunday school? I used her in illustration. We taught this story in Institute this past week. It really touched my heart. I've been thinking about it the last 4 or 5 days now, and I just couldn't roll past it. And I felt like the reason the Lord wouldn't let me turn the page on it in my heart and in my mind is for tonight. But I asked Madison, and I could ask any one of you, and imagine Joe, Sam, how about this? Sam, imagine your son Jonathan, your brother, leaves home on bad terms. Goes out to find out what the best that the world has to offer. Can I tell you, the younger son found the best that the world had to offer. Found it. He got it. He got the very best that the world could do. Imagine every night praying Jonathan would come back home. That he would turn his heart around and he would get right with God. And that he would be tender and he would not walk away from the things. And that from a child that has known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise. And that train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. And you're just praying that that day be very close. And we pray and we beg and we toil and we plead with God. And maybe fasting or whatever it is. And all of a sudden he shows up. Sam comes home from work. And there sitting at the table is his brother Jonathan. Mom's crying. I'm tearing up just thinking, playing out the scenario in my head. What's going on? Your brother Jonathan is home. In verse 28, and he was angry and would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and entreated him. Please pay attention not only to the older son's location, but look at his disposition. It was one of anger. That's what a self-righteous person does. He became bitter at his brother. He did not rejoice over the fact that he had returned home. He was angry. Verse 26, it says, as he approached and the music and the dancing was going on, he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. Notice his actions. He didn't go to his father. He didn't go inside the house. He did things kind of sneakily, kind of behind people's backs. The action of a person who is self-righteous is, well, so how does this affect me? In verse 30. But as soon as thy son was come home, which hath devoured the living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf? That's his response to his dad saying, come, let's rejoice over your brother being home. He's like, you're killing the fatted calf? He evaluated what his brother had done with the value of what the sacrifice his dad was making. He's like, he's not worth that. Our fourth point, the estimation. First, we had the location, disposition, action, estimation. What was it? The value of materialism is very high in someone who is self-righteous. The tender things of God, of joy and repentance and all of the valued principles of the Word of God are but a shadow to that of which have great monetary value to someone who is self-righteous. Because their worth is not in God's view of them, but rather how much they have. Why didn't the son leave? Because the longer he stayed, the better his inheritance would be. We see the self-righteous brother or son serving right where he should have been. But his disposition was one of anger. His action was behind others' backs. His estimation, he had a false value of materialism. Look at Luke chapter 15, verse 29. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do... Now listen to this phrasing. If you want to see how a self-righteous person talks. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee. Neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. A self-righteous person. Know who the spotlight is on? Him. It's all about me. He's mad at his brother. He's mad at his father now. Why didn't you ever throw me a party like this? I've never wandered. I've been here the whole time. Don't I deserve something? Isn't that how we talk to the Lord sometimes? Hey, where's the blessings in my life? Why is it difficult for me? What about me? I've been here serving the whole time. In verse 30. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots. Know what he just said there? He said, his sins are worse than mine. See what he brought up? Was it true? Sure. Sure it was true. But he just said, I'm better than him. I'm better than him. He's wasted everything he had on sin. His fixation was upon himself. His misconception was that he compared sins. Comparing ourselves among ourselves, what? We are not wise. And lastly, verse 31. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. His problem was his recollection. He forgot all that he had entrusted to him. Can I help you tonight? Don't lose sight of the other side. We all win. We all get heaven. We all get a mansion. We all get eternity and eternal life. And if we want to spend our days thinking that it's all about us, you've forgotten something. You've forgotten that it's all about the Lord. It's all about Him. So then I ask the question, who was worse off? The son that took the best? And squandered it and wandered away and came back humbly? The one that just could not get over himself. Both had problems. And I think both of us, or all of us, fall into one of those two categories. You're either out and trying to hold hands with the world, or you're looking down your nose at those that do. and neither of them are right. So if you're away, run home. Run as fast as you can. Drop everything and just get back to the Father. If you're the older son, the things that we talked about here, be careful that you not make materialism more valued than the soul of men. He should have rejoiced that his brother was home, but he saw it as cutting into his inheritance. Where money is more important than people, when their sins are worse than your sins, when you've forgotten all that God has promised you. Let's be careful that we not be guilty of the older son also. Let's all stand.